But I just want to share a couple of things with you this morning on your transition. Your transition. When I was thinking of what to preach, that's one of the most, it's one of the biggest dilemmas preachers have. What to preach? Oh, what am I going to preach? Immediately, no, there was no question in my mind that I wanted to share with you Joshua chapter 1. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles. If you have your Spanish Bible, that's the heavenly Bible. Just kidding, just kidding. I'll be reading out of the King James Version. If I stumble through some of my words, please forgive me. I don't usually preach in English. I usually preach in Spanish. If I say a couple Spanish things here and there, you know, you'll understand. I'll just kind of losing myself a little. I'm preaching out of the New King James, if that's okay with you. Is that all right? I know that you do use that version here. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, and before we begin, let's open up with a word of prayer and get the show on the road. Lord, thank you so much for this new opportunity, this, once again, this privilege that you've given me to be here in front of these dear folks. I love them, Lord. They've been part of my life for many years. Many of them were here when we just first started the Spanish church, and I thank you, Lord, for their love and for their support. I pray, Father, that you would help me to be a blessing to them this morning. I know that for most of them, if not all of them, their hearts are bitter and sweet, I should say. It's a bittersweet. Their hearts aren't bitter. They're just, it's a bittersweet thing to say goodbye to someone that you love so much, to say goodbye to someone who's been a part of your life and of your family for many years. Now, Lord, I pray that you would comfort their hearts and that you would encourage them, and as they look forward, as they look to the future, that they would be just thankful for the many years of service that you've given Pastor Sawyer and Terry and the whole Sawyer family here in this church, Lord. Help us to be forever grateful for their ministry, Lord. I pray that you would comfort their hearts, that you would help them to make it through this transition period, and that they would be able to move on, move forward with a positive spirit. We know, Lord, that no one is indispensable. You are the one who is in charge. And Lord, we know that you can use anybody, anyone who's willing to be used. And we pray that you continue to use Pastor Sawyer. We know that you will. And we pray, Father, that you continue to bless him in his new endeavors, his new ministry, as he reaches out to the mission field and beyond to instruct and teach other pastors with his vast knowledge, Lord, and all his wisdom and his practical experience that he's had. I pray that you'd use it mightily. Lord, I pray now that you encourage us with your word and help me to be a blessing to these dear folks. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I just want to tell you folks, I love you guys. You know, the ministry is tough. I've been in ministry for 17 years. It's been a blessing. It's saved my life, literally. I tell people about that all the time. It saved my life. If it wasn't for ministry, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be who I am today. But ministry is sort of like dating. You know, I haven't been dating for a long time. It's been over 28 years I've been married. It's been a blessing. But before I was married, as you can tell, I used to date a lot. Some of you don't believe that. How come you're laughing, Nathan? You don't believe that? You don't believe I was... Well, those of us who have a lot of experience dating, it's almost like, you know, you meet someone, you fall in love with them, you get to know them, you get to experience them, and you get to mesh, and before you know it, they dump you. And then you move on, right? Then you meet someone else, and you fall in love, and you get to know that person, and you think, this might be the person, and before you know it, they dump you again. That's like ministry, you know? You get dumped all the time. People come to your church, you fall in love with them, you minister with them, you pray with them, you spend time with them, you invest time in them, and before you know it, they move out, they go somewhere else, and your heart is broken again. Only this time it's reverse. This time you're the heartbroken ones. And that hurts. It's not fun to say goodbye to somebody that you love, right? But that's the way life is. Life is a time of transition. Life doesn't stay stagnant. Thank God for that. There are changes. Sometimes changes come, we're not ready for them. But change is something that's good. And I just want to encourage you folks, as you go through this transition period in your church, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. This is good. This is God's doing. This is God's will. Sometimes God's will is not easy to take, right? Sometimes it's very difficult to accept what God wants for us in our lives. But you know, God's will is the best thing in the world for us. And right now, as you go through this transition period in your ministry, please remember, this is God's will. It's what God wants for us. It's what God wants for you. The children of Israel had come to a place of transition in their lives. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 34, we're not going to read it, but we'll see here the death of Moses on Mount Nebo. You know that Moses died prematurely. Although he was like something 120-something years old, he was still a young man. He still had a lot of life in him, but because of his disobedience to God, because of his sin, God would not allow Moses to enter into the promised land. And Moses, in my opinion, and the opinion of many scholars, not that I'm a scholar, I'm just saying I'm not putting myself on that plane, but many scholars and many men of God, Moses is considered the greatest prophet that Israel had ever had. He was one of the greatest men that ever walked this face of this earth. We see here Moses, an experienced man, a seasoned veteran in leadership, a seasoned a man of God. He had his ups and downs, but he was a man of God. Such a wonderful man that God buried him himself. We see here Moses described as the servant of the Lord. A man who was highly favored, highly respected, highly regarded by the children of Israel. The man that God had used for many, many years. It was time for him to go. It was time for him to transition out of the picture and bring another young man, a younger man, not as well respected perhaps, certainly not as experienced, definitely not as highly regarded as Moses, but we have this young man by the name of Joshua. And here we see the children of Israel in a time of place of transition in their lives and as a nation. For 400 plus years, they were in Egyptian bondage. And then a little later on, because of their unbelief and because of their sin, another 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Here they find themselves ready to cross the Jordan River and enter into the promised land, the goal that God has set for the Israel people, the Jewish nation, enter into the land with which flows with milk and honey, but without their leader. Now they have a new man. There's a new kid in town. And his name is Yeshua, Joshua. Now Joshua was a good man. But compared to Moses, he was a boy. And the Bible tells us here that Joshua was the successor to Moses. Chapter 1 of Joshua, the Bible says the following. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, Every place that your soul, that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. And as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, from as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, and as he was with Moses, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. As I contemplate this morning, this transition period in your church, I can't help but think of this book. I can't help but think of the parallels that I see here with Joshua and Moses and the children of Israel. I can't help but see parallels in this church and in this ministry. In less than a month, I believe, right? A little over a month, perhaps. Your new pastor, Pastor Overmiller, Thomas Overmiller, will be the pastor of this church, basically the third pastor in a long history, and he will be the authority of this church. How's it going to work? How's it going to happen? Well, I believe that there are two truths that we need to consider very quickly this morning. Two truths here in the book of Joshua and these 18 verses that I would like to bring to light to you and to just encourage you as a church family. Two truths that are very important for us to remember, those through whom God works. I see a blessed future for this church. I don't know about you. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. I see a blessed future. You see, God is the owner of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of this ministry. Not Pastor Sawyer, not Pastor Swanson, not Pastor Martinez, Not Pastor Lowry. God. And it's God who sustained this ministry all these years. And it is God who will continue to sustain this ministry in the future. However, God uses two types of people. He needs you. First of all, God works through God's leaders. And second of all, we're going to see God works through God's people. And first, let's consider this first truth. God works through God's leaders. In verses 1 through 9, we see a new man on the scene. We have a Johnny-come-lately. Well, not really. He wasn't really a Johnny-come-lately because really he had been by Moses' side for several years as an assistant. But as the leader of this huge nation, of this very difficult people, of this very difficult culture, we have a new man here. In verse 1, he says, after the death of Moses, the servant of God, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, I'm thinking, Joshua's thinking, me? Follow his shoes? Folks, Moses was huge. Moses was a great man. Well, he sinned against God. He did, all things aside, Moses was greatly influenced, greatly used by God in the Jewish nation. If you think that his shoes weren't very big to fill, you're sadly mistaken. Moses was a great man of God, and the Bible says here that Joshua, the son of Nun, his assistant, his second in command, it was his turn to take over. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have scared me to death. I would have said, you know what, Lord? I like being an assistant. I don't want to be the pain. I don't want to be the chief. I struggled with that for many years as a young man. I never wanted to be a pastor. I was okay with the second fiddle. I had no problem with that. I don't mind sitting in the cart and somebody else drive the motorcycle. You ever see those kind of bikes? I don't mind that. I kind of like that. Sit there and look at everything while he takes control. I don't mind it. I was never one who really wanted the position of leadership. But God said, no, there aren't many Hispanics who want to take the job. And it's up to you. And I can relate with Joshua. Joshua's probably shell-shocked. He's wondering, what in the world? How can I do this? First of all, we have to understand that God commissioned Joshua. Here in verse 1, we see the commission of Joshua. God had commissioned Joshua for this position of leadership. God has commissioned Brother Overmiller to this place of leadership in this church. And you might not agree with that, but you must obey it. Now, I understand some of you, there are some in this church who are kind of like, you know, I didn't vote for him. It's almost like the Democrats and the Republicans, right? You know? I didn't vote for him. You should still pray for him. He's not my president. Oh, excuse me, did I say president? He's not my pastor. Well, folks, you know what? God has spoken. God speaks through his people, yes or no? This is the Democratic Church. You guys voted, and 78% of the membership that was there, and if you weren't there, shame on you, because that's a big responsibility. And I say that kindly, I'm not trying to be mean. But 78% of the congregation said that Pastor Overmiller is going to be the one who's going to do the job. And you might say, I don't agree. I think he's too young. He's not Hispanic enough. He's a little too white for me. he's not from the Midwest. He's not from the city. He's from the Midwest. You know what, folks? God uses the most unlikely people. But the bottom line is, my dear friends, the deal has been done. He's going to be the new pastor of this church. And you need to accept that. I'm sure a lot of folks said, Israel, what? You know, really? Joshua? Come on. He's going to lead us? I mean, man, we almost killed Moses. We're going to finish up this guy. This guy? Really? I'm sure there were plenty who were not in agreement with Joshua, but God said, you know, I have spoken. You must obey. Therefore, my dear friends, we must accept the fact and support this new preacher as the new leader of this church. Well, I don't like his personality. He's the new pastor of this church. Well, he's a little too young for me. He's the new pastor of this church. Well, he doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He's the one that God has commissioned for this church. We need to accept it. I want to encourage you, dear friends, accept it. But he has also been charged in verse 2. Joshua was not only commissioned, but he was charged by God. Verse 2, Moses, my servant. It's interesting how God brings up, when the Bible repeats something, you need to take heed. Here, the book of Joshua says, Moses, my servant, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. He's dead. He's no longer functioning as leader. You can't go back to him. You can't ask him for counsel. He's no longer a factor in your life. My dear friends, thank God Pastor Sawyer's not dead. Amen? Because then you know what that means, right? I'm next. You know, I don't want to go yet. Two friends, man, they were crazy baseball players. Yeah, they loved growing up. And they said to each other, you know, when one of us dies, you know, I want to know if there's baseball in heaven because I want to play baseball. And these little buddies, you know, they're always talking. And when they got older, you know, one of them died. And then he visited the other one in a dream, and he said to him, hey, Harry, what's going on? Hey, yeah, man, what's up, man? I'm in heaven. Wow. I got good news and bad news. He says, yeah, give me the good news. You know what? What? There's baseball in heaven. Harry, that's wonderful news, man. I love that. That's great news. Man. What's the bad news? You're on deck. So I don't want to be on deck. But the bottom line is, my dear friends, that was a bad joke. The bottom line is, Pastor Sawyer will no longer be your pastor, and you need to understand that. Your new pastor will be Pastor Thomas Overmiller. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, verse 2, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down. The sun shall be your territory. And so here we see that God has charged Joshua with the responsibility of being a leader. He's not to follow the whims of the people. And please understand that as followers, you need to follow the leader. You need to follow his leadership. You need to follow his wisdom. A good leader is a strong leader, my dear friends. A weak leader is a disaster. Remember Aaron? Remember what happened to Aaron? The Bible tells us in Exodus 32, you don't have to look for it there, but the events surrounding the golden calf. Moses goes up to the mountain, right? He leaves Aaron, a weak leader, in charge. The people start getting impatient. Well, what's going on? You know, he's still up there. What's going on? You know, when's he coming down? You know, and they start getting worried, and you know the story. Make us a god. Because Moses died, probably, and we need our god, and we need to follow the pagan rituals, and we need to, you know, we need a god. And Aaron, instead of being a leader, became a follower. Instead of listening to God, he started listening to the people. And I don't know Overmiller, Pastor Overmiller, too well. But I want that one thing that rubs me wrong about him. I'll be honest with you. He's a leader. You know, it rubs me wrong in a good way. I'm kind of like, you know, you folks know me, right? I'm kind of easygoing, you know, sort of. That's my wife. She'll differ that with you with that. Ask my kids. They'll differ. But I kind of, you know, I'm a kind of a pushover, and I kind of like people who kind of push over. And Brother Overmill is kind of like straight and kind of narrow. Kind of like, you know, he likes, you know what, my friends? That's good for us. Now he's strict. You know, he's stricter than Pastor Sawyer. Well, Pastor Sawyer's like me. You know, we're from the projects. We're different, cut out of a different cloth. But you know what? Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need someone who's a little, you know. And Joshua was a leader, that the kind of leader that God needed at this time and place in Israel's life. Now, you know, I honestly, Pastor Sawyer and I, you know, we were already talking about, you know, the cemetery here and Kew Gardens. You know, we were gonna be here forever. We were gonna retire in New York. I mean, honestly, is there any other place other than New York in the world? I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, not too often, but whenever I go on vacation, I'm always comparing it to New York. Nah, this place not like that. The pizza, no. It's not the same. You know, it's like, it's not home. New York is the place to be. So I was shocked when Pastor Sawyer said he's going to go to Florida. But how did I go there? Anyway. One of the things that you will need is a strong leader, and I dare say that Brother Overmiller is a strong leader. Joshua was a strong leader. God, in order to get the things done, get the work done, you need to have strong leadership. Don't be intimidated by it. He was charged by God to lead. And verses 3 through 6, we see that he will lead with several things. First of all, he would lead with God's blessings on his life. In verse 3, he says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. One of the things that I like about Brother Overmiller is that he has God's blessing upon his life. And that blessing is going to be transferred. See, I told you my English is gone, man. Transferred into your lives. It's going to be infused into this church. God has many blessings in store for Pastor Overmiller, and guess what? You get to share them. That's nice. Joshua said, God said to Joshua, I'm going to bless you beyond measure. I'm going to give you all the blessings that you need, and your congregation is going to be blessed. He would be endued with power. In verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Wow, what a great promise, huh? Joshua was able to count on God's favor in his life. As I look at Brother Overmiller, I don't know him really well. He's your brother-in-law, right? You should know him better, but. But one of the things I look upon him, I say, I see God's favor in his life. I really do. And my dear friends, you know what? That's going to be transferred to you. God's power, God's favor. Joshua could count with God's presence. In verse 5, he says, I'm going to be with you. My dear friends, don't worry about Brother Overmiller. God's going to be with him. God's presence is going to be with him. In verse 6, God's in divine intervention. Verse 6 says, be strong and be of courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance a land which I swore to their fathers to give them. The new preacher who comes here and a new pastor is going to be endowed with God's intervention, his supernatural presence, his divine power and his blessings. Amen to that. It's the kind of preacher you want. No, I wish you were sitting here so because I'd be preaching this part to him, right? But Joshua was commissioned by God. He was charged by God to lead the people, but he's also charged by God to follow God's word. I love the fact that Brother Overmiller is a man who respects God's word. My folks, that's what you need. The exposition of God's word has got to be number one, numero uno. God's word is to be obeyed. Look at me with me, verse 7. Here, God is talking to Joshua. He says, Joshua, now you got to be strong, young man. You got to be strong. You're going to take over here. Only be strong and be very, very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make, your way prosperous and then you will have good success. God's word, my dear friends, is to be obeyed without compromise and without deviation. And if you have a preacher, you have a pastor who has high regard for God's word and puts that numero uno in your lives and in the lives of this church, amen, praise the Lord for that. Well, I like a guy with a certain personality. Well, I'll be honest with you. If I'm going to take personality, If you're going to give me, it's good to have both, you know, great exposition of the Word of God and great personality. Hard to find, but if you can get it, amen. But if you can't, and I'm not saying Brother Overmill doesn't have that, but if you can't, take the great exposition of God's Word, my friends. Trust me. It's way better than personality. I have a good friend of mine, I won't say his name, a great mentor of mine, one of the best expositors of God's word that I've ever met in the world. Personality, not so good. Everybody loves him because he knows how to feed them God's word. My dear friends, God's preaching, the obedience of God's word has got to be tantamount in this church. And if this new preacher loves God's word, and if this new preacher has a high regard for God's word, the inspiration of Scripture, and if this new preacher dedicates himself to preaching God's word, if that's his desire and his passion, then you guys are blessed. Because that's what Pastor Soria was all about. One of the biggest concerns for me getting a new preacher to follow Pastor Soria, and I'm not saying this just because he's my friend. There might be a little bias there. But one of my favorite things about Pastor Soria is a tremendous, tremendous scholar. He's a tremendous expositor of the Scriptures. He knows how to bring difficult concepts and bring them down to terms where you can easily assimilate them and digest them and understand them. And that's a skill that not many preachers have. And I hope and pray Brother Overmiller has it. I haven't heard him preach. I don't know. Pray for him that he has that because that's going to be most important in this church. God's word needs to be obeyed. It's interesting here, Joshua is taking over the leadership, and God, the first thing he says, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to help you, but remember this, my word has got to be number one. This book of the law has got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your mouth. It's got to be assimilated. He was called to follow God's word. God's word is to be obeyed, but God's word is to be internalized. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You know, dear friends, we're living in a world of compromise. We're living in a world with Christian leaders who are wimps. The other day I saw an article on Facebook. It's not that bad. Somebody, Facebook? It's not that bad. Everything's good with balance. And I saw this guy, you know, with fully clothed in a bucket with water falling on top of him. I'm thinking, what's this? Another one of these joke things, you know, I just hear like or something. It just caught my attention. I said, what's this all about? The caption said, a new form of baptism. What? There's a new form of baptism now. People get saved, and you know what they do? Instead of going into the tank and doing it biblically, by immersion, people are getting dunked with the bucket, and they call that baptism. Welcome to the new age. You know, there's so much compromise. It's ridiculous. And the caption says, is this biblical? And I'm thinking, if you need an answer to that, you have problems. We're living in a day where Christians are deviating from sound doctrine, weird doctrines, strange doctrines, lack of standards, lack of separation from the world. You know, that's still popular, guys. I mean, you know, it's still, you know, being separate from the world, that's still in the Bible. Christians seem to forget this. There's this syncretism now where, you know, it's okay as long as you're sincere about it. Well, if the Bible says it's not okay, it's not okay, folks. And I hope you guys have a new preacher who has some kind of backbone. Well, he's too strict. You know what? We're living in a very permissive society where Christians are doing whatever they want. I think we need to go back to the basics. We need to get back to the basics. We need to be going back to solid, strict adherence to God's word. I'm not talking legalism. No legalism. No, sir. But I think we definitely need to retrace and retool, perhaps, and remember the God that we serve. God's word has to be followed. It has to be obeyed. It has to be internalized. And my dear friends, it's going to take courage. It's interesting that the Bible says, only be strong. Verse 7, only be strong and be very courageous. Right? Later on, he goes on and repeats the same phrase. Be strong. Be courageous. You know what, my dear friends? It takes courage to stand up for God's word. It takes courage to preach against God's word, against sin. It's not easy. Pray for you, new pastor, that God will give him the courage to stand up for what is right. Just as Pastor Sawyer has done it for several years, for 27 plus years, pray that Pastor Overmiller will have the same conviction, the same desire to stand for God's word. Someone said that courage is doing the right thing when the wrong thing seems to produce better results. As I like that. Courage is doing the right thing when the wrong thing seems to produce better results. So God works through God's leader. No question about it. And your leader's coming. Whether you like him or not. Whether you voted for him or not, he's coming. God put him here. You need to accept that. But secondly, very quickly, and my time is quickly drawing to a close, and you're saying, wonderful. No. God works through God's people. Verses 10 and to the, I'm not going to read the whole passage, we already read it, but verses 10 through 18, basically it's a discourse of Joshua and the people. Okay, great, we got a new guy coming in town. Okay, God put him here. Okay, he's a great guy. He's a warrior, you know, he's got convictions. You know, he's not Moses, but he's okay. Now the people have to make a decision. Then Joshua, the Bible tells us, commanded the officers of the people. Interesting here. Now Joshua's his role of leadership, he's putting them to work already. Come on, man, can't you slow down? You just got into office. Joshua hits the road, is that how you say it? Road running? Yeah. Hits the road running. He hits the pavement running. He's, okay, guys, time to work. And it's interesting here that the people, first of all, are willing to take on leadership, internal leadership. He says, then Joshua commanded the officials of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over the Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And so Joshua is basically delegating to the other leadership within the people, within the congregation, to do the work. And my dear friends, your new pastor is going to need some leadership. He's going to need some help. Leadership within the people is very important. A great leader needs leaders he can trust and count on to help him with the tasks of serving God. Are you up to the task? Any organization rises or falls on leadership. A good leader is only as good as those with whom he surrounds himself. So are you ready to lead? Perhaps some of you have been sitting around thinking, well, you know, one of these days I'm going to serve the Lord. One of these days, you know what? Now's the time. Now is the time. You got new leadership coming in. Perhaps we need new internal leadership as well. I don't know what Pastor Overmiller is going to do. I don't know if he's going to just say, okay, we're going to do away with all the deacons. We're going to start new. I don't know. He might. Are you willing to, if called upon to be a deacon, are you willing to do it? You know, leadership is very important. Moses needed help, right? Remember when the Bible tells us that he married, when he was married, his father-in-law, Jethro. That's an interesting name. I like that. Jethro. I don't know. I just kind of like the name. He saw Moses sitting there judging the people day in and day out. You know, people are coming here with all these problems, and Moses is there all day. You know, real, hey, what are you doing, Moses? I'm doing my job. Yeah, but really, do you have to be here all day doing this? Well, nobody else. What did Jethro say? Gives him some sage advice. He says, Moses, you know what? You're going to burn out. He says, the thing that you're doing no es bueno. That's Spanish for it's not good. You know what, Moses? You need to select. You need to delegate from among the people. He says, you need to delegate able men that fear God, men of truth, who hate covetousness, to be rulers of hundreds, of 50, of 10. And the Bible tells us that these people were to judge the people at all times, and only the serious or the grave matters would be taken to Moses for consideration. And Jethro says to Moses, Moses, this is going to be much easier for you. And you're going to be able to be more effective. This is going to help you endure. And what did Moses do? Took his advice. And my dear friends, your new pastor is going to probably rearrange the furniture a little bit. He's probably going to choose from amongst you leaders that will be capable of helping him move forward, because he can't do it by himself. No preacher is that talented. There aren't many Moseses left in this world, and Pastor Overmiller is going to need your help. He's going to need your leadership skills. He's going to need your support. He's going to need your love. He's going to need your every fiber to help him. Man, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. How old is he? 30-something? 32? Nah, he's young. He's young. I'm 52, and I'm thinking, no way, Jose. This is a big task, my dear friends. He's going to need your help. Leadership is very important. We see leadership in the Bible, right? In the New Testament, we had who? Who were the leaders in the New Testament? Who were the servants? They were called what? Deacons. Remember that? In Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost, the church is in the embryonic stages, and the Bible tells us that the disciples, the apostles, selected amongst themselves people, men, deacons, servants, to help with the daily chores. Because basically, the responsibility of a preacher, honestly, is twofold. Number one, he's supposed to preach. Amen? Right? And his second responsibility is supposed to pray. The two P's. That's easy. Very easy sermon outline. Preach and pray. Everything else is what do you call it? Extra. Put it in Spanish, touch to it. Extra. Well, I want a counselor. That's not his calling. His calling is to preach and to pray. Well, I want a preacher who can come and, you know, fix my toilet when I need it fixed. He's to preach and he's to pray. Well, I need someone to help me with my finances and help me, you know, translate documents and go to court with me and babysit my kids once in a while. His responsibility is to preach and to pray. Well, I need a counselor. Preach and to pray. If this new preacher can do those two things well, you guys got it made. Yeah, there's other stuff. There's other stuff in ministry. There's so much stuff. But you know what? It's up to you guys to help him get that done. Amen? Yes. He's not supposed to lead the choir. He doesn't know what he's doing anyway. Man, all I do is fan myself. I don't know what this is. He's not supposed to play the piano. I've seen preachers, man. They do everything. My wife describes it. You ever see the guy? He's got, you know, bing, bing. He's got, you know, all this. He's playing the bagpipes and playing the drums and the snare. I mean, you know, these preachers, you know, they have to be doing everything. No, his responsibility is supposed to be to preach and to pray for you. So he needs your help. Are you willing to take, are you up to the challenge? Are you willing to help this new preacher do what God's called him to do? People who are willing to work, deacons, in the 2 Timothy 2:2, you don't have to look for it, but the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul told Timothy that he was to delegate to faithful men ministry. One man can't do it all. He's not supposed to be a servant of all. He's supposed to be a preacher, and he's supposed to pray. In verse 13, very quickly, people who are willing to remember and believe God's promises. Verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. My dear friends, remember God's in charge here. Remember, this is God's ministry. People who are willing to fight for the right thing. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan, but you shall pass before your brethren armed. Armed for what? For battle. All your mighty men of valor, and help them. People who are willing to fight and help the cause. My dear friends, if we fight against each other, we're not going to get anywhere. If the Republicans start fighting against the Democrats in this church, you're not going to go anywhere. We need to work together as a team. Again, you may not have voted for this preacher. You may not agree with this preacher. But you know what? The vote has been cast. The deal is done. He's the new pastor. You need to support him. Can I hear amen? Can I hear amen on that one? Not for me, for you. Can I encourage you? There's been rumors. The trickle effect goes up. You know, it's up. Eventually, you know, pastors are always the last to know, but you know what? They always know, right? Pastors the last to hear, but you know what? We always will hear. There's been some rumors of some of you wanting to leave the church over this. I don't know who you are, but there's some rumors, and I'm telling you, that's not the thing to do. First of all, this is God's church. He's in charge. And God wants you here. God needs you here. The new preacher needs you here. It's not time to, you know, anchor away, you know, pull up the anchor and leave. No, it's time to stay. It's time to put down the anchor and keep working and keep serving. Who knows what blessings God has in store for you through this new preacher? Right? Well, I like Pastor Sawyer better. I don't want him to go. I'm so tired. What am I going to do without him? That was me the other day in my office. I went to his office. I said, what am I going to do without you? What do you mean you're leaving? When my computer goes, what are you going to do? He says, don't worry, you can call me. It's not the same. I can't talk to that guy like I can talk to you. Learn to. I just can't relate. Learn to. Right? I don't like him. He probably doesn't like you either. Get over it. I guess I'm going to talk to you as a pastor. What would I do? It's not easy. Fight. Don't flee. God needs you here. This is your church too, no? People who are willing to go to distance. Verse 15. I love that word. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest. As he had gave you. As he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land. In other words, these people were going to fight, they were going to work until they reached the promised land. They weren't there yet. They were ready to cross the Jordan, but they weren't there yet, but said, don't quit until you get to the promised land. That's why I'm going to quit. Why? Don't quit, fight. People who are willing to submit to their leadership. I love verse 16 and 18. We're going to finish there. So they answered Joshua, the people, saying, all that you command us, what are we going to do? We will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Yikes. Only be strong and of good courage. No, you see, Joshua anticipated friction in this new transition period. He anticipated that there were going to be some in the nation of Israel who weren't going to submit to his leadership. There were some who were going to cry. Boo-hoo! He's not the same as Moses. He doesn't have the same personality. He doesn't do the same things. He doesn't do it the same way. He's different. I don't like different. I don't want to submit to him. Well, the people say, well, listen, you know what? Get over it, we're going to have to obey him. And if any of you disobey him, man, thank God we have the option of leaving, right, guys? You know, at least you guys have the option. Well, I don't like, I'm leaving. You know, but, you know, the people say, whoever rebels against this new commander, whoever rebels against this new preacher and doesn't heed his words and all that he commands them, she shall be put to death. Why? Because God knows that we need solidarity, we need cooperation whenever you have a new administration. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be different. It's not what you're used to. But God put him there. God knows best. And folks, I just want to give you a couple suggestions. Number one, embrace change. I don't like change. Change sometimes, most of the times, is good. Yes or no? Some things need to change. Some things need to remain the same. But embrace change. There's nothing wrong with change. Yes, it hurts to see Pastor Sawyer leave. No question about it. Not a very comfortable situation. Not a very comfortable feeling. Yeah, it's going to be different. Pastor Sawyer is a sweet man, isn't he? Can I get an amen on that one? He's a wonderful person. He puts others first. One of the godliest men I have ever met in my life. One of my greatest mentors. I'm here because of three people. God, Pastor Sawyer, and myself. God, Pastor Sawyer, and myself. Because God used this man in my life. And so, yeah, it's hard for me to see him go. It's hard to see different changes. I don't know what new, I'm kind of scared myself. You know, I'm upstairs, guys. I still live here. What's this guy going to do? How's he going to change things? But you know what? Embrace it. Support, submit, and pray for you and your pastor. You need to do that. He's going to need your support. He's going to need your submission. And he's going to need your prayer. Well, I'll pray for him. No. Don't do those three things. Support him, obey him, like the Bible says in Hebrews, and also pray for him and his new family. Hey, listen, this is a big change for him too. Coming to New York, most preachers shy away from New York. Most don't want to come here. Thank God you got a man who wants to come here. That's why I'm thinking he's a little crazy, because really? Pray for him. Work in unity as a church. We need solidarity now, not division. The elections are over. Let's work together. Let's see what God's going to do here. Volunteer yourself for ministry. Well, I'm not going to work with him. Yeah, work with him. Volunteer. Be positive, dear friends. This is God's work. He's still here. Just remember this, no man is indispensable. Remember that. Only God is indispensable. And my dear friends, I just want to encourage you. God works through two individuals. God works through leaders. Thank God you got a young man. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be frank with you guys? Can you turn off the tape? No, I'm just kidding. When I heard that Overmiller was coming to this church, I was kind of like, nah, no, can't be. I wasn't too crazy about the idea. So God started working in my heart and thinking, shut up and listen. Then at the, I was here at the answer, question and answer time. Not the whole time, but most of it. I'll be honest with you. God convicted my heart. He told me, see, I told you so. Because I wasn't for it. Then after listening to him and the way he responded, his answers to the questions, how he handled every question very maturely and very intelligently and very biblically, I was totally impressed. I was totally encouraged, and I think he's the man for the job. I thank God because, you know, folks, the leadership is what drives the church, and the wrong man behind this pulpit can split this church and ruin all these years that God has worked. And I honestly believe, as your friend, I'm not your pastor, but as your friend, someone that I'm sure some of you love, some of you probably don't, most of you respect, I can honestly tell you, I really believe that he's going to do a great job. I really do. You need to give him a chance. You need to work with him. He's your Joshua. He's all you have right now. Work with him. He needs you. Don't leave. Fight. Continue to move forward, my dear friends. And I know God's going to bless your church. I know He is. Amen.